You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I am the Sly One, Jordan Fox, and with me, as always, the co-host, the man with the plan, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's up, dude?
Man, I'm just doing my best not to bree up this intro and botch it. I realized this, and people will call me a hater forever, but this is my true opinion. This is not me being extreme in any way. The fact that the Bellas are on my TV has generally brought down my enjoyment of wrestling, period.
I'm still laughing about, I'm trying not to bree up this intro. Did you just make that up off the top of your head?
Yeah, literally. Like, I didn't even know what I was going to say when you started saying, hey, I'm introduced Floyd. I just said the first thing that came up to my mind.
I love it, dude. Well, dude, I watched some SmackDown this morning. It's we started even a little bit earlier than what we normally do. It's like 7:14, 7:18 right now. We usually get going a little bit closer to 8, but I decided, well, I was talking to you this morning, and I was like, dude, let me pick your brain about some of your fondest SmackDown moments and your favorite SmackDown wrestlers, because this golden era of SmackDown, with the SmackDown 6 and Edge and Vicky Guerrero, like, This fell right smack dab in the middle of that era that I always referenced that I was not a fan. Not that I didn't like wrestling and stuff, but, you know, I just had...
You were off, like, you know, serving the country and taking care of shit.
Right, right, you know, and I had... No, I don't mean that in, like, but...
No, you weren't busy or anything, you know?
Well, no, you know, and on top of that... When I was in the military for that 5 years, I didn't, believe it or not, this sounds really weird thinking back to it now that I'm an old man that watches TV with my wife every evening, but I didn't have a TV for 5 years, dude. Well, for 4.5. The last 6 months I had a TV, but I didn't have a TV in my barracks room for 5 years. And of course, a year of that was in Iraq, so that's not weird that I didn't have a TV there, but... Yeah, dude, I did not have a TV. I had my roommate paid for Wi-Fi, so I had Wi-Fi, and I connected on my laptop that I had, and I would watch stuff to fall asleep sometimes, and then I had Seinfeld. I had the box set of Seinfeld, and I'd fall asleep to it, but I did not watch any TV for that 5 years, basically. Can you imagine that?
I couldn't imagine that, but I'm actually a little jealous of you. I mean, because just think about it. If you take that five-year window, you know how much binge-watching you can do? You miss, like, whole series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, I've watched so much TV, it's like I run out of TV. But so I, like, kind of wish I had, like, a little while there where I just didn't watch TV so I could go back and watch all that TV.
Right.
You know?
It's so, a valid point.
Yeah, so I'm like, you could go on Hulu or Netflix and have yourself a great time. You'd be like, I've never even heard of this show. Play.
Yeah. Dude, I remember when I got into college and people were talking about How I Met Your Mother. I'd never heard of it. Man, I'd have to look at a list of shows. Maybe I should do that sometime for the show. Is look at sitcoms and shows that were like primarily in that era and see if I ever watched an episode or not. But yeah, dude, so I missed a lot of TV, and it's good and bad, because sometimes there's some pop references that I don't get. But in regards to wrestling, like, there was no wrestling, like, no one was actively keeping me away from it. I wasn't actively keeping myself away from it. I just, you know, I was a young guy in a military town. I was single. And I just didn't have a TV, didn't have cable in my barracks room. And so, I missed, like, this big, this long era of SmackDown, man. And then now that I'm back in the fold, like, dude, I did not even, when it started coming up that they started advertising for the 1,000th episode of SmackDown, that's, correct?
It's next Tuesday.
Dude, like, that blew my freaking mind. I'm like, what? Like, it didn't seem real that SmackDown's been on for 1,000 episodes. When they were doing Raw 25, like, even though I missed the same exact amount of Raw time, like, Raw had been going for so long before I became a fan that I was like, ah, that makes sense. You know what I mean? It doesn't seem out of the realm of possibilities. But I remember when SmackDown was created. So I was just like, man, it just blows my mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. SmackDown was actually created, the 99 was the year I graduated high school. So, it was originally on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then it's moved to Friday, Tuesday. It's moved around. It went from Thursday to Friday, then back to Thursday. Then it's always been Tuesday, Thursday, or Friday. And they're like, Tuesday's fairly new. And it's funny because JR's been screaming it should be Tuesday, like, forever. He that first time, he's like, dude, record on Monday, record on Tuesday, get done. You know, that kind of thing. Because, you know, people, it would record on Tuesday, and then it wouldn't show up to Friday or Thursday. And most people already knew the results before then, so the numbers were always low.
Right. Where
Raw and SmackDown numbers are pretty similar now because they're two live shows.
So, JR was a big advocate for recording and airing on Tuesday?
Yes.
And it was just
advocate.
And was it just that, for that reason? People would know the numbers, so just.
Yeah, you lost the audience. And he's like, I mean, nothing was on Tuesday that he felt like would completely, you know, most sports didn't happen on Tuesday.
I got you. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, besides baseball, and really, you don't even see.
Yeah, JR was way ahead on that one.
He's ahead of the curve, ahead of the game.
Yeah.
I always forget, was WCW Thunder created in retaliation to SmackDown, or was SmackDown created in retaliation to WCW Thunder?
I think SmackDown was first.
SmackDown was first. I feel, and I could be wrong. I think you're right. I was thinking that.
No. SmackDown aired January 8th, 1998.
Oh, wow.
So it was almost a year and a half. SmackDown debut was, what day did SmackDown start? April 29th, 1999.
So Thunder was first.
Thunder was first.
Wow. Yeah, I remember. I forgot what. I don't remember if it was the Monday Night Wars, you know, on the network, not the single disc that came out when we were younger, the actual, you know, 10-part series that's on the WWE Network.
Uh-huh.
There's a reference on there. And I think Bischoff is talking or someone, and they say, you know, hey, we were the first ones to go on TV on Thursday, and then SmackDown came afterwards. But I could not, remember if it referenced how Thunder was first and SmackDown came after, and WCW was ahead of the curve, or if it was saying by this time WWE was basically in the driver's seat and Thunder was created to combat SmackDown. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't remember which way it was which. I know they referenced it, but I didn't remember which way it was which.
Yeah, you know, and I'm pretty extreme in my fandom, but the one thing I'm not good at is chronological.
I got you.
Like, I mean, I'll be like, Dolph Ziggler won the title, and then this happened. They'd be like, well, that happened before Dolph Ziggler won the title. I've been watching wrestling for 30-some-odd years. Yeah, I mix stuff up. I mixed up WrestleMania 9. I was having a conversation about WrestleManias, and I completely mixed up WrestleMania 10 and 11. Like, I was talking about stuff that happened at 10, calling it 11. You know, it was I mix up crap like that all the time. I know exactly what happened. I know the storyline. It's just the years get mixed up sometimes.
Well, that happens when you go to as many as many live events as you get to go to, man. So yeah. don't feel too bad.
People remind me, they be like, I was watching SmackDown and I saw you in the crowd. I'm like, I went to that show? I don't remember.
That's awesome, dude. So real quick, today is the day that we usually review SmackDown for everyone, but I'm just going to run through the official results real quick, because, dude, I didn't feel like too much happened, man. Like, SmackDown Women's Championship match.
That was a good, really good match.
Yes.
I will tell anyone, I'm like, I don't feel like a lot happened. I completely agree with Jordan in that case. But if you have time, you have about 20 minutes, I think it was a 3-segment match. Up until the end, Charlotte and Becky was a really good match. Actually, and even the way it ended, I was okay with.
Yeah, I agree. It went, here, let me explain. It was a SmackDown Women's Championship match is what Floyd and I are talking about. And it was the title can change hands on a DQ. And it was the champion Becky Lynch taking on Charlotte. It went 23 minutes and ultimately ended in a double countout. And Charlotte hit Becky with a beastly spear. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, they were wrestling and outside, and they both got counted out. Becky kind of had the advantage, and they got counted out. And they started fighting up into the stage area. And Becky pretty much was getting the best of Charlotte, but then Charlotte gets angry and she spears her through the LED screens at the entrance.
Dude, it was beast. It was beast.
Yeah, and you don't usually get spots like that for women, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you really don't. I've seen, I feel like someone went through the barricade with Nia Jax. I think Nia Jax ran over somebody and they went through the barricade. I don't remember who, if it was Alexa Bliss or someone, I can't remember.
I think it was Mickie James, but I'm not 100% sure.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I think she was taking Mickie James out of the equation for the Alexa Bliss match.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But that's pretty much, you know, I've never seen this. It might have happened in the past, but I've never seen the LED light bar spot in women's wrestling. So pretty cool. But yeah, like you said, the match went 23 minutes, and it was pretty cool. I thought it was, anyway. That was probably, to me, the highlight of this week's
match. It was the highlight of the show, and because Charlotte had to compete with AJ in the Mixed Match Challenge later, it was the first match.
Ah, that makes sense. Okay,
so it should have been the main event.
Yeah.
She would have had to do that 23-minute thing, big spot, and then come back and wrestle like 5 minutes later and act like nothing happened, basically.
Ah, yeah, you're right. Her arm got bloodied up, too, didn't it?
Yeah, and she sold the arm actually doing Mixed Match Challenge, which I thought was cool.
Oh, she did? Sweet. I dig it. Next, we saw the WWE World Cup qualifying match, Jeff Hardy defeating Samoa Joe in just under 8 minutes via referee stoppage. How many people are going to be in the World Cup?
8. 4 from SmackDown, 4 from Raw.
And go ahead.
And this is where my joke went in. So, the first, and you're going to talk about the result later, but the first 3 qualifiers for the World Cup to determine the best in the world is John Cena, Kurt Angle, and Jeff Hardy. I was like, When are they trying to find the best in the world? The 2008 best in the world?
Yeah, In 2008, this would have been perfect, right?
Oh my God, 2008, this is like everyone would be talking about this amazing World Cup they're putting together. But it's like, okay, so part-timer, non-active wrestler, Jeff Hardy.
The guy that can't do his full move set at house shows because his back's hurting so much.
Yeah, so old guy, old guy, old guy. So we still haven't got a guy under 40 yet.
These are three former world champions, but all from their most notable reigns were probably around 2008, like you referenced, or earlier.
Yeah, let's talk about the best quarterback in the NFL. Is it Brett Favre? Is it Peyton Manning? Or is it Steve Young? I'm just saying. That's what it feels like here. It's like, okay, they were great quarterbacks 10 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah, like I said, three guys still doesn't have a guy under 40, and now we're going to talk about we're going to talk about it later. We got Big Show and Randy Orton in a qualifying match. Again, no matter who wins, you don't have a person under 40.
Right. Yeah, real quick, so on the World Cup, are they just going to have the finals at the Crown Jewel? Is that what's going on?
No, it's the one-night tournament. So
One night at Crown Jewel,
so
right?
Yeah, so you're going to see three matches, yeah.
Oh, okay, sweet. So it's kind of like reviving King of the Ring, huh?
Yeah.
Sweet, so, I get it.
Three rounds, not three matches.
Gotcha. So after the Hardy Samoa Joe match, we have a non-title match between AJ Styles and Shelton Benjamin. AJ wins in just under 8.5 minutes by pin. And then the final match was the World Cup qualifying match part two. And it was Randy Orton beating Big Show in just under 9.5 minutes. And you referenced that one already. So Randy Orton is the fourth, competitor in the World Cup. Or he's the fourth qualified wrestler, right? Fourth person to qualify?
Yeah, so, like, if you're looking at it, you got Cena's been champion 16 times. Orton's been champion, like, 14 times. That's 30. I think Jeff's, like, at 4 or 5. I'm just like, there's a lot of titles there. But there's, like, 200 years in the wrestling business, too.
So true.
So, I'm like I said, shout out to him. I'm like, hey, get your payday. I'm very happy that you'll get to see these people perform. But building it up as the best in the world. I mean, come on. I mean, let's be serious. I'm like, yeah, but we did get a special announcement. Rey Mysterio is returning to the ring next week and in a World Cup qualifying match against Shinsuke Nakamura.
I know, that's going to be intense, isn't it?
Yes. So, if Nakamura wins, which, of course, Rey Mysterio is coming back, we all know who's winning this match.
Right.
We're going to have our fifth guy over 40. Think about that. Isn't that crazy? You're building the tournament as the best in the world, and you're at least five of your eight people are going to be 40 or above.
And, like, it's reference. They're trying to find the best in the world, and then they have, like, guys like Seth Rollins that is not on the list yet.
Yeah.
If he goes on at all.
You got one of your best singles performers that's never doing anything, Cesaro.
Yeah. Why is he doing it?
Yeah. Like, Cesaro, for me, I love him in the bar, but they're not really using them a lot right now. So he's like the most talented person that's being completely wasted in the WWE.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it at all.
Yeah, we did actually, someone put out a list on Twitter last night, and they said basically fantasy book the World Cup, and you only could have one guy from each country. And just real quick, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, of course. It was like, someone just put out the list, and I was like, this is what I did. USA, AJ, Canada, KO, Japan, Hideo Itami, Mexico, Cian Almas, Ireland, Balor, Switzerland, Cesaro, England, Pete Dunne, and Scotland, Drew McIntyre. Isn't that a tournament?
Dude, people, that is legit.
Isn't that a pern tournament that people right now want to see?
Dude, that is legit. That's legit. Did you say Pete Dunne?
Yeah.
Did you see that he had to pull out of a couple of indie shows because of an injury? They didn't disclose the injury, but they said that it's pretty serious and going to keep him out of action for a while.
Yeah, I saw that, and they said WWE was going to announce it later. Then I saw, 2 days later, I saw that he had to pull out, still had to pull out the show, but I heard that the injury wasn't that serious.
Oh, so okay.
I mean, I've heard conflicting reports. That's wrestling. Wrestling.
Yeah. Right. Well, hopefully it's nothing serious, you know what I mean? Obviously, you don't want to see anyone get hurt, no matter what, but...
not at all.
I hate to even say especially, but, someone that is... Dude, he's just, he's a badass.
Super talented, yeah.
I mean, there's really no other, there's really not very many ways you can say it, or you can say it a million different ways. He's just super talented, like you said, you know?
Yeah, it was like, and it's funny, I don't know if you remember, when Seth Rollins was the champion and got hurt, it was like the air went out of wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, because he was so good in the role he was playing, it was like, seriously, the collective air... just went out of wrestling.
True, man. True. He was, dude, he had just, I felt like he had just hit his stride too, man. Like he, I'll be honest with you. I was watching SmackDown, or excuse me, I was watching Raw during that era, a few months before he got hurt. And he was talking about, I want a statue out front and this, because I am the best heavyweight champion WWE has ever seen, and yada yada yada. And dude, I caught myself one day getting upset and almost talking to the TV like, no, dude, there's so many other great world champions. You can't tell me you're better than Ric Flair. Like, I almost said that out loud. He's that good of a heel. He was, I had lost in my my suspending of disbelief, and was angry and got angry for a split second and had to be like, dude, what are you doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah. And he had that little half giggle laugh that he did.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah.
Oh God, I wanted to stab him every time. And that's a mark of a good heel.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly, man. If he could get two guys that know what's going on, that are super fans and suspend our disbelief like you and I do, but still, we know what's going on. And for him to draw out that emotion in us, you know what I mean? That means that he's doing it to other people as well. And that's, dude, that's amazing. That's just downright amazing.
Yeah. And I definitely agree.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, not a lot happened on the show.
Yeah, that's go ahead.
That's going to be the next 3 weeks, too. I mean, next week's going to be a big episode because it's SmackDown 1000. We got Evolution coming. We got Undertaker showing up. Rey Mysterio's in a match with Nakamura. I'm pretty sure we're going to get The Rock at some point. And it's just going to be a big show, but it's going to be like, it's going to be closer to the variety show that they want. I see very little wrestling going on that show.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's usually not... How do you feel about those shows? Are they like...
Oh, no, they're great to me.
Okay.
I mean, there's not something to celebrate, but I wish they would do more of those just because sometimes you need a break in between. It was like the Bobby Roode and Chad Gable thing. Over the last 5 weeks, they did Bobby Roode versus Chad Gable, Bobby Roode and Chad Gable versus The Ascension. Bobby Roode and Chad Gable versus The Ascension. Chad Gable versus Connor. Bobby Roode versus Connor. Bobby Roode and Chad Gable versus The Ascension again.
Yeah.
And it's just like you get the same thing over and over and over again. Those shows break it up.
I dig it.
Like, I don't mind The Rock cutting, going out there and talking for 20 minutes. Because The Rock can talk. He can hold my attention. He can make things entertaining. It's just, I don't, like, right now, like, you have The Miz. The Miz is really good. And if you need 5 minutes out of Joe, he can go out there and really carry it for 5 minutes, make it intense. But it's just like, you don't have the entertainer like The Rock was. You could put Stone Cold and The Rock and just hand them a mic and say you got 20 minutes. And they would entertain you for that 20 minutes, and you would forget the fact that you hadn't watched wrestling.
That's true, man. That's true. Yeah, we've seen a couple of these like kind of variety shows from WWE or variety segments and stuff like that, and the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community, has kind of in my experience, like reading about him and stuff, it's kind of like split, like where some people think that, oh God, this is so dumb, I want to see my wrestling. And then there's other people that have a valid argument, like yourself, that's like, man, it's just, you know, it's not like they're doing it all the time. It's, you know, it's breaking up the monotony, and it's a fun couple hour show, you know.
And most importantly, it's just like the people you probably on the celebration shows that they announce several uh-huh. weeks in advance, you probably shouldn't tune into that show.
Right?
I'm just saying, if all you like is, they don't do a lot of wrestling on those shows, and when they do, the matches usually only last like 2 or 3 minutes, and they get a lot of legends involved. It's what happens. It's not like we're not hoping that heaven is like, this is what you're going to get.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense, man. It makes sense. If there was, let's talk about your top, let's say, five favorite SmackDown wrestlers. That's what we talked about on our little pre-show meeting, our little pre-show talk.
I got five.
And we're referencing, the reason we brought this up is because there was, I don't know if you've seen this, I forgot who shared it, but I've seen several people share it on Twitter and on Facebook. People's like top five list of favorite SmackDown wrestlers that were on SmackDown for an extended period of time. And that's what made me think about this morning. That was one of the things that I threw out there that you said that'd be fun to do. So I figured I could pick your brain about the top five SmackDown wrestlers. They could be current or past, right? So.
Yeah, and what I want to clarify is if I left anybody glaringly off this list, I apologize. I kind of threw this list together in, like, seriously, 10 minutes, right?
Right, just kind of off the top of your head. Yeah,
so, and criteria for this, very quick criteria, is that I remembered them, their run on SmackDown.
Okay.
So, you know, like Stone Cold was mostly a Raw guy, you know.
Gotcha.
And certain people were mostly a Raw guy. Evolution was completely a Raw faction, you know. But these are people that kind of made their name on SmackDown.
Gotcha.
All right. So, two honorable mentions. Shout out to Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar. So, if Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar is in my honorable mention, my top five has to be significant.
True story.
All right, so number five, he's part of SmackDown 6, one of the greatest Mexican wrestlers of all time, one of the most beloved wrestlers of all time, Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, wow, he was number five. I'll be honest, I was thinking he was going to be like one or two on your list, man.
Yeah, he was part of SmackDown 6. That was the six people that they really built the SmackDown brand on. He had his first WWE title on SmackDown. Honestly, I like Eddie Guerrero. I was not the big lover of Eddie Guerrero. I felt like everyone was entertained by Eddie Guerrero, but unfortunately, his young death made his legend grow so much more.
Right.
You know, but he was a really good wrestler. And number four, current WWE champion, AJ Styles. This new era of brand split, he has been SmackDown the whole time. He has been in the main event to SmackDown main event the whole time. He is over 300 days champion. So, yeah, he's really carried SmackDown. It is the house that AJ Styles built.
I like it. I like that one right there. And, yeah, that's around the time that I got, well, I was back into wrestling for a little bit, but I've got to see AJ Styles' complete SmackDown run. So I'm very, very happy about that because he's done some, and this is no pun intended, but he's done some phenomenal things on SmackDown and for SmackDown. I feel like SmackDown, I don't know if there's another star that you could plug into AJ Styles' position on SmackDown if he was to go down and to adequately fill that void.
He gave that title respect.
Yes, 100%, man.
I mean, of course, Daniel was hurt. I mean, Daniel Bryan can fill the void now, but back that year, you know, Daniel Bryan was hurt. He was the name. He was the draw on that show.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree, man.
Number three is going to be shocking. A lot of people are not going to like it. JBL.
Oh, dude. Tell me about some JBL, man. Why you like JBL so much?
He actually is the one that beat Eddie Guerrero for his title. And he kind of did something different. Like, he's like, I'm announcing my candidacy for a WWE champion. So he pretended like it was a presidential run. He had his cabinet with Orlando Jordan, and I think it was the Bashams was in it. And he just had this swarmy heel 2000s million dollar man character, you know? And it was like, he was Jinder Mahal. He won the title, and they were like, he was just losing to, like, Hardcore Holly 3 weeks ago. You know, how's he the WWE champion? But he made it work. He's one of those people that he was what WWE was hoping for with Jinder Mahal, because JBL was amazing on the mic, and that clothesline from hell, he sold it well. He had a 400-day. He was the SmackDown's longest reigning champion for a long time. I think AJ just broke it, and he gave up the title to John Cena.
Yeah, in a I Quit match.
I know it wasn't any rules.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was an I Quit match. I could be wrong, but I think it was an I Quit match.
But yeah, so he was the transition champ between Eddie Guerrero and their new face of the company, John Cena.
I gotcha, dude. I've heard so many people speak so highly of that JBL character after the fact. I've heard multiple people like it. And I'm not just talking about people talking to me. I'm also talking about podcasts and YouTube videos of people saying, man, I hated JBL when he was on TV, but I've grown to respect him. And then there's a bunch of people that's like, dude, from day one, I thought that JBL gimmick when he kind of reinvented himself and, like you're talking about, acted as if he was running for political office when he was chasing the title and stuff. They talk about just how amazing he was. And I wish, I don't think there is one, correct me if I'm wrong, but I wish there was a JBL DVD or JBL special on the WWE Network, man. I would love to see all that from JBL, you know?
Yeah, and he's humble enough, even though a lot of people think he's an ass, he's humble enough to be like, yeah, you know, he was a transition champion. He doesn't talk a lot about it, but I will be to tell, he was one of the best heel runs I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I still remember a lot of the things. He had the limousine with the longhorns on him.
Yes, yes.
Yes, and he would... You know, but when he was in Oklahoma, he talked about how much he loved Texas. But he was in Texas, he talked about how he moved away from Texas to Bermuda because Texas sucks. And he was a really good heel. He didn't even get cheered in Texas, his home state.
And he would come out to the opening of the Wall Street Bell, right?
Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, JBL was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Number two, the person he gave the title up to, John Cena.
Really? You part of C Nation?
I'm not part of C Nation, but I think it's my part. I think it's my job to be impartial here.
Yeah.
And he debuted. He was one of the. I mean, he debuted on SmackDown and became the SmackDown champion without ever going on Raw at that time.
Really?
There's no more of a SmackDown. There's no more of a SmackDown success story than John Cena. He is he's one of the biggest WWE superstars ever. So therefore, saying he started on SmackDown and cut his teeth on SmackDown, won the U.S. title from the Big Show, won the WWE title. I mean, he got beat up 100 times by Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker while he took his bumps.
Yeah.
Whenever, you know, like now, if he lost three times in a row, people would say he was getting buried. You know, he didn't get buried. He was, you know, putting in the time. And, you know, they decided to give him the, put the company on his shoulders, and he made it work.
Yeah. Yeah, he really did. I'm not a Cena fan whatsoever, but I definitely got to give the man his due. And,
yeah.
I think he, for a time, he really helped the WWE through a hard transitional time coming out of the Attitude Era and trying to change their ways, you know?
Yeah, if I made a John Cena DVD or a book, I would call it From Almost Fired to the Franchise, the John Cena story. Because that's what it was. It was like they literally didn't have anything to do for him, and they were going to fire him. Stephanie McMahon heard him rap and said, let's do that, and they went with it, and now he's the franchise of WWE.
So, wow, I did not know that. So there wasn't, he didn't do anything wrong. They just didn't, creatively, they didn't have anything for him, and so they were just going to kind of cut him?
They didn't think he was special at all.
Gotcha. Wow. Yeah. I did not know that. I did not know.
Yeah, John Cena has told that story. Stephanie McMahon heard him just playing around rapping. She's like, why don't you do that? So Stephanie McMahon was the one that basically discovered John Cena again.
That's really cool.
And number one, the Rated R Superstar.
I was trying to do a drum roll, but I can't do it very good.
It is Edge. He was basically, I mean, at the time, he was part of SmackDown 6. He was a tag team wrestler, you know. You know, Money in the Bank, cashing in on John Cena, all that stuff. And, yeah, he was very synonymous with SmackDown for a long time. Married to Vicky Guerrero, that gimmick. I mean, he was SmackDown. He was SmackDown for a long time. And I just think he was the guy that it was like Edge was, you know, he had the ENC, and it was like, what are you going to do now that your tag team career is over? And it was just like, he really grabbed that ball and ran with it as probably the top heel and then face on SmackDown.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. I've never heard anyone reference the success of SmackDown and not mention Edge. You know, just even Marvelous Mike has told me on numerous occasions that Edge carried that SmackDown brand for a while.
Yeah, he was the franchise of SmackDown. He was what Sting was to WCW in the early 90s when they didn't have anybody else. That's what Edge was to SmackDown for a while. And while they were building John Cena up, Edge was there, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so definitely, that's my five. I got Edge in one. I just, like I said, I've watched SmackDown since 99. There was a time where it was on my network TV. I mean, like I've always said, I haven't missed an episode of Raw since, you know, like mid-90s or something like that. It's been a long time.
Wow.
So, but SmackDown, yeah, I missed a lot of episodes of SmackDown. When it was on my network TV, you know, I just, honestly, I'd find other things to do. And I went back and watched episodes, and I watched it enough to keep up, but there was a lot of Miss SmackDown episodes.
Yeah, they and you know, they've been on like six different TV stations too, right?
Yep. Yeah. That was the problem. It was like, it was UPN, CW, My Network TV, Sci-Fi, and US. It is on they are on their fifth network now.
Wow.
And if you think next year they're going to Fox, that will be their sixth network.
Yeah. I think the move to Fox is I think it's the right move. I think that is the only way that you leave the station that you're at, me personally, because I think the setup they got now with Raw on Monday, SmackDown on Tuesday, both of them going live, I think, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, creatively, they have a lot of work to do. But yeah, as far as the night the shows are on, when it comes to SmackDown and Raw, I personally like the Monday and Tuesday setup.
Yeah, I hope they use I hope they use this opportunity to give them less days off. I mean, give them more days off, excuse me. Oh, sound like an asshole there for a second. more days off. I hope the SmackDown crew works Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I hope the Raw crew works Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and they have 4 days off. I mean, you just got $1 billion. I think you can, you know, afford to give people an extra day off.
Hell yeah, dude. That's a valid point, man. It's a valid point. We were going to talk about your top five favorite SmackDown moments, but I think we just got a few more minutes left, so why don't we...
I'll just give you number one.
Okay, let's hear number one. Let's talk about number one.
December 13, 2001, one of the most memorable moments ever, Stone Cold Steve Austin and Booker T fighting a grocery store. I honestly, until I looked this up, I thought that was a Raw moment.
I've never knew that was a SmackDown moment ever. Yes.
Yeah, it's actually a SmackDown moment. Austin and Booker T, they had the milk out, and yeah, Booker T was doing the crazy eyes and the hair. Very, you know, Booker T's one of the most entertaining wrestlers of all time. Stone Cold's one of the most entertaining wrestlers of all time. This is one of the most entertaining segments of all time. If you want to watch the whole episode, of course, it's December 13, 2001. But the YouTube clip, Austin Booker T in the grocery store. My friends, I was talking, and he told me the grocery store is now closed. It's not an operating grocery store anymore. I was like, they should do tours. They should do a wrestling museum in that in that grocery store, just because it's such a memorable moment when you talk about wrestling. And I think that was close to the, you know, I wouldn't call it the end of the Attitude Era, but close to the end of the Attitude Era as we know it.
Wow, I cannot believe that was on SmackDown, man. That's insane. Do you remember what storyline they had going on? Because I do not.
It was like the WCW versus WWF.
So it was like during the invasion era?
Yes.
Oh, okay. It was
before Austin had turned to the WCW side.
Got you. Was this in retaliation to where he jumped the guardrail and beat up Austin, and it actually broke his hand?
I think it may have been, but honestly don't remember everything around it. I remember the moment. I've watched the video several times. It would probably be smart to go watch the episode before just to know what happened, but no, I don't remember.
I got you. That's dude, that's fun, man. I can't wait. If we don't do it later on this week, then for sure next Tuesday when we're talking about, or excuse me, next Wednesday when we're talking about SmackDown 1000, we can talk about your other four greatest SmackDown moments. And I think maybe I'll try to rack my brain and try to come up with a couple of my favorite SmackDown moments to go with it. Obviously, mine won't be near as intricate as yours and have as much good content, since you were watching, you know, I had that big gap basically is what, you know, that I always reference to, but I'm even trying to think about anything crazy that's happened on SmackDown the last couple of years that would even go on someone's list, but not really.
I did have one for November 7, 2017. AJ Styles actually won the WWE title from Jinder Mahal on that show.
On SmackDown, that's right.
Yeah, so we actually had a world title change on SmackDown.
Oh, dude, TV. I forgot about that.
So, yeah, that, and, you know, that started this 300-plus day reign that he's on. Yeah, it was on my list at three, so I had that already. You queued it up for me.
Poor Jinder, losing his title on free TV.
Don't say that. I pay a cable bill.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
It's not free.
We do pay for it, don't we?
I pay a cable bill. If I didn't pay for cable, I couldn't have watched that match. So that's not free.
Oh, that's funny. Well, Floyd, tell everybody where you spend your weekends at, brother.
And, yeah, you can definitely catch me on Around the Ring. Every Sunday we have the show out by 12. It's on thechairshot.com. You can follow us on Twitter or Facebook, Around the Ring OK. You have any questions, send it to aroundtheringok@gmail.com.
Sweet, man, sweet. Just want to say, everyone, thank y'all for tuning in so, so very much. To listen to Floyd and I talk wrestling over coffee and energy drinks and all that. The only thing I don't have is a donut, man. I'm going to start getting some pastries to kind of munch on while we're having our morning show here. But thank y'all, everybody, for tuning in. Like I said, Floyd, I hope you get some rest before you get to go back into the shoot job, my man. I am going to go watch King of Pro Wrestling, my friend.
Well, you enjoy King of Pro Wrestling. We can kind of talk about it a little bit, because there actually quite a bit happened on that show.
Sweet, sweet. Okay, maybe we'll knock some of that out tomorrow morning, man. Does that sound good to you?
It sounds good to me.
Sweet, dude. All right, Floyd, will you be good, my man? And for everyone out there listening, thank y'all for tuning in. We want everyone to stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?